Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, a heat advisory is in effect for temperatures that are expected to be in the 90s all week long, meaning outdoor activities can quickly turn dangerous. We have what you need to know to stay safe during these extreme conditions. Also this morning, as Congress and the President go back and forth on a significant housing affordability bill, a new bank rate analysis finds many home buyers are overpaying because they're skipping an essential step in the mortgage process, amounting to what they call a hidden homeownership tax. And to the extent that you can get out and enjoy the sunshine and the warm weather, there are plenty of July activities and programs from the Hancock Park District. Michelle Rumschlag will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, June 30th, 2026. Well into the triple digits once we factor in the heat and humidity today. But 'tis not the case everywhere. Did you happen to see this out west in the Sierras, the Cascades, the Northern Rockies? They're getting snow. I mean, not just a little bit of snow, not just a dusting of snow. In parts of the higher elevations, they're talking like 18 inches of snow in some spots. If you want to escape the heat, that's the place. They're talking about the higher elevations of, California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, Utah, Wyoming. Yeah. When those higher elevations, Cascades, the Sierras, the Northern Rockies, that's where you want to go to avoid the 18 inches of snow. Just amazing. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started. Did you hear, supposedly, the musical acts for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding that's coming up this weekend that haven't been formally announced. This is all rumor, but Page Six says Stevie Nicks and Tim McGraw are set to perform at the wedding. How much pressure would there be? And I understand Stevie Nicks, Tim McGraw. I mean, they're big stars in their own right, but wouldn't you be a little bit nervous to perform at the wedding of like the biggest singer on the planet right now? You talk about all eyes being on you. You know, you did one of your best performance ever, even for like Stevie Nicks. I mean, she's got nothing to prove to anyone, but still, Stevie Nicks and Tim McGraw, according to Page Six, going to be performing. There's still no official word on even where they're getting married. They're not saying, but City Hall in New York have confirmed that there is a permit for a 1,000-person bash at Madison Square Garden on Friday and a more intimate at MSG on Thursday of this week. And that's what everybody believes is the actual wedding. So, I don't know. We'll find out. It's not like we're invited anyway. But I would imagine it makes sense they're going to keep that quiet, because can you imagine all of the potential wedding crashers if it were public knowledge when and where they were officially getting married? I mean, they're going to be people showing up trying to crash the party just based on the rumors alone. So imagine. I understand why they're tight-lipped on that. The other kind of interesting pop culture sort of, this is more than pop culture, I guess, item that I saw in the Newswire, you know, the Buffalo Bills will be opening a new stadium in Orchard Park, New York this year, and there will be no mention of former Bills running back O.J. Simpson on the Wall of Fame at the new Highmark Stadium. Bills CEO Pete Gelly, is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. Anyway, the CEO of the Buffalo Bills says O.J. is not a fit for what the Bills family and the stadium represents. Of course, O.J. spent best part of his career, 9 seasons in Buffalo with the Bills, but they're wiping him clean from the stand. Probably a good idea. Okay. So, 4th of July coming up, and TSA, we were mentioning, a couple of days ago, late last week, AAA was out with their estimate of the number of people who are going to be traveling for the 4th of July holiday. TSA is out with their forecast, bracing to screen nearly 19 million air travelers across the 4th of July holiday period. 19 million people in the air. A senior official for the Transportation Security Administration says security checkpoints are fully staffed and prepared to welcome these travelers and handle the large passenger volumes from June 30th through July 6th. That is the travel period, according to the TSA. So beginning today through what is the 6th? That is Monday after 4th of July weekend. So between now and next Monday, the highest traffic expected to be July 2nd, which would be Thursday, because most folks have Friday off. So they're going to be traveling on Thursday. That's the getaway day. An estimated 3 million people will be traveling through airports that day alone. The agency recommends travelers arrive early, check with their airline before their departure, make sure everything is still on time, etc., etc., etc. And if you are one of those people that does not fly often, just a bit of advice for those from those who are more seasoned at the airports: go through, take a couple of minutes, and review everything you can and cannot take with you in your carry-on. And review what you do and don't have to do when you get to the security line. Because nothing will slow things down faster than somebody who innocently tries to take something through security that you're not allowed. And that'll slow things down. And people who don't know you have to take your shoes off, take your belts off, take your jackets off. Not that you'd be wearing a jacket in this weather, but you get the idea. Now, sometimes they don't make you do that. Take your laptop out of your bag. Sometimes they don't make you do that. Usually they do. You should be prepared for having to do that. And then if you don't, you're pleasantly surprised. But nothing slows things down quicker than people who don't know the protocol. So it's out there. It's not that difficult to find. If you don't usually travel, you don't frequently travel, familiarize yourself with the procedure before you actually have to do it. It'll speed everything up and make it more pleasant for everyone. By the way, speaking of travel, you get to your destination. What do most of us do to get around? We'll take an Uber. I mean, yeah, you can rent a car, but, a lot of times we just take an Uber these days. Well, Uber is rolling out stricter background checks and restrictions for their drivers. The company said the new policies for rideshare drivers for its delivery service will take effect on Monday. And among the changes, get this, Uber is expanding the list of criminal offenses that will permanently disqualify someone from being a driver. The company will no longer allow people with prior convictions for violent felonies, sexual crimes, stalking, or strangulation to be drivers. And I saw that story. I thought to myself, what? You mean up to this point, somebody with a violent felony or a crime of stalking has been allowed to be an Uber driver? That's new? Who have I been getting into a car with all these times? I'm now starting to wonder. I would have thought that those things would have already disqualified you, but apparently that is new. I'm not sure that makes me feel any better. But at least they're a little late, better late than never, I guess. But still, that's a little disconcerting. I've gotten into a lot of Uber cars with drivers that, boy, you think you know, and apparently not. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Chew on this here this morning. A new study finds that today's younger people are aging faster biologically than their parents did at the same age. Think about this. We are aging faster biologically than our parents did when they were our age. We're talking to Gen Zers, Millennials, and Gen Xers. Researchers say it may help explain a troubling rise in many early onset diseases like cancers. The findings focus on biological age, a measure of how quickly the body deteriorates at the cellular level, which can differ significantly from a person's actual age. Younger generations are showing accelerated biological aging markers at rates that concern health experts. While specific lifestyle and environmental factors contributing to the trend were examined, the implications point to a potential long-term public health crisis. And that's the serious part of the story. But I saw that, and I said to myself, I'm definitely feeling it, but we are aging faster biologically than our parents did at our age. It's a cheery thought to start the day with, right? There you go, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny today with a high in the 90s, mostly clear tonight, low in the 70s. Volunteers are needed for the annual Stuff the Bus School Supplies Drive hosted by Christian Clearinghouse. McDonald's, WFIN, WKXA, and 106.3 The Fox are again this year joining with area organizations to stuff the bus with school supplies for local school children in need. The hours this year are on Thursday and Friday, July 23rd and 24th from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And there's a link with this story on our website where you can choose your volunteer hours. Ohio lawmakers have approved a measure that will provide a one-time property tax credit for homestead recipients, saving them potentially hundreds of dollars more per year.
The Homestead Exemption Program is for senior citizens, those who are disabled, and the surviving spouses of fallen first responders. Homeowners over the age of 65 must meet certain income requirements to qualify. This credit is available to residents who received either the homestead or enhanced homestead exemption in 2026.
Onan's Angela Ann reporting. The National Weather Service has now issued an extreme heat warning, saying temperatures will be in the mid to upper 90s throughout the week, with heat index values of 106 or even higher expected. Health officials point out that consecutive days of excessive heat and humidity combined with little relief overnight can be especially hazardous. You're advised to drink plenty of fluid, stay out of the sun and in the air conditioning, and check up on relatives and neighbors as heat-related illnesses like heat exhaustion and heat stroke increase significantly during times of extreme heat and high humidity. Remember, you can always get the latest forecast and weather alerts on our website. Liberty Benton Local Schools is celebrating seniors Claire McDaniel and Reed Irwin, who have been selected as recipients of the prestigious OHSAA Scholar Athlete Scholarship. The school district says their achievements reflect the excellence, hard work, and eagle pride that define Liberty Benton. See a picture of both in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news anytime at WFIN.com.
So, of course, the big story this week, that heat advisory that is in effect for temperatures that are expected to be in the 90s all week long, which, of course, creates a situation where outdoor activities can quickly turn very dangerous. So this morning, I want to talk about what you need to know in order to stay safe during these extreme conditions. And joining us is Hannah Plumley. She is Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Hancock Public Health. And Hannah, how quickly can this turn dangerous? I mean, I think it's not so much that people don't know that this can be dangerous. I think people underestimate how quickly this can become dangerous. How fast can these issues start to set in?
Yes, well, a lot of it depends on a person's health. So just being aware of existing health problems you may already have. People who are at higher risk can be those with, existing heart conditions or lung conditions. those who are pregnant, infants and young children, and especially those older adults, being out in the heat, heat-related illness can happen in minutes. So it's really important just to be aware of your own health status.
And even in individuals who are otherwise healthy, this can still take a toll. What are some of the signs that someone is in distress?
Some of the signs could be heavy sweating, dizziness, headaches, weakness, feeling some muscle cramps or weakness, nausea. And especially if it gets to that point where a person starts feeling very weak and confused, it's very important at that point to seek medical attention immediately.
So when you first start to see these symptoms appear, either in yourself or in others, what do we do or not do in order to sort of recover if we've overdone it a bit?
At that first sign of symptoms, it's important to get to a cooler area, even if it's if you can't get inside an air conditioning, then move to a shaded area or an area with a breeze if you can find one. If you are feeling ill or someone you are with is feeling ill, drink water or have them drink water. Remove any excess clothing like socks or if they're wearing pants, roll up their pants if they can. And cool off with wet towels or cool water.
I've heard it said that you want to make sure that it's not, you know, like ice cold water. If someone is extremely hot, that can cause a shock to the system that can actually elevate the emergency.
Yep. Any cooler water will help activate our body's natural cooling mechanisms, okay, just like sweat. So any cooler water, getting the skin wet will help, period.
And as you mentioned, once you get to the point where you're starting to become disoriented, unaware of your surroundings, once you stop sweating, that's a really serious sign where medical intervention is needed right away.
Yes, that would be a situation where you would want to call 911 immediately.
So we talk about the signs, the warning signs that someone has overdone it, that they may be in distress, and hopefully we catch those early enough that it doesn't become a medical emergency. But obviously, the best solution or the best part would be to prevent that from happening in the first place. So how do we make sure that we manage the heat well? What are some of the things that we can do to make sure that we don't get to that point in the first place?
Sure. Well, I think trying to stay hydrated is extremely important. Drink more than you think you need to. More water. Gatorade can be helpful for some individuals. And try to avoid drinks that are high in sugar, caffeine, salt, alcohol, because those can contribute to dehydration. If it's possible, try to schedule your outdoor activities in the evening or in the cooler parts of the morning. Try to avoid that midday sun and take breaks whenever possible, especially if you're working or exercising outside.
Yeah, I really feel for the people who have to be outside for work, road crews, roofing people, construction people, people you know, exert an awful lot of energy already. And then in this heat, obviously that can be very dangerous. The thing is, you know, as we say, to stay inside, stay out of the heat as much as you can. Not everybody has air conditioning, but there are plenty of places around the community that will offer some air conditioned shelter if you don't have it available in your home.
Yes. So Hancock Public Health, we are actually opening up our SafeWorks location on Front Street for cooling opportunities to come in, get a drink of water, sit in the air conditioning for a while. And there's other resources around town as well. The City Mission, St. Andrews Annex on Sandusky Street, they're also offering opportunities. So all of those various opportunities kind of help spread out the locations a little bit, hopefully walkable for a lot of people. And those are all available to see the open times on our Facebook page and on the City Mission's Facebook page as well.
So very important. And the other thing that makes this, I mean, the hot days are challenging enough. The other thing that makes it even a greater challenge, especially for those who don't have air conditioning in their homes, is that we don't get a whole lot of relief overnight. It's going to be hot and humid even in the overnight hours. So there's not really a whole lot of recovery time.
Yes, it is very difficult to completely cool off when the low is in the mid to upper 70s.
Yeah.
It's important just to, you know, try to, like I said before, kind of remove any excess clothing, try to get where there's a breeze somewhere or a fan, and just really focus on staying hydrated.
And to that end, checking on your friends and neighbors and loved ones who may be in that situation to make sure that they're okay and get them into some better conditions is very important as well. While we have you here, Hannah, talk about all of these very important things to keep in mind when we're out in the sun. And I guess the other thing to mention with respect to the heat is this becomes top of mind when we have these heat advisories and triple digit temperatures, but it doesn't have to be that hot in order to have these impacts. I mean, this can happen even during what we would consider normal summertime conditions.
Yes. This excess heat just speeds up the process.
Yeah.
But this can happen anytime.
Yeah. When we are out, again, we're talking about being out in the summertime, enjoying the sunshine and all of that. We were talking about this the other day, so I want to ask you about this because it is kind of related. We were talking about this the other day. Apparently, there is a trend online. I'm not sure where this started, but there is this theory going around on social media that sunscreen is somehow a bad thing for you. I guess it's an extension of the anti-vaxxers who are going anti-sunscreen now, saying that your body can build up some sort of natural immunity from sun exposure. Kind of set the record straight here in terms of the importance of using sunscreen while we are out.
It certainly can be very hard to know what's true when you're hearing health claims online. Some of them are very convincing, and they seem like they make complete sense and could be true. But it's important to ask where those claims are coming from. Are they backed by credible scientific research? In the case of sunscreen, the FDA-approved ingredients in sunscreen, they have gone through rigorous testing over decades, backed by lots of credible research to show that the benefits far outweigh any risks associated with sunscreen. It's been proven to be both safe and effective, especially when you're working to prevent sunburn and skin cancer.
Yeah. So don't go without the sunscreen. By the way, sunscreen, as important as it is not going to help prevent any of these other things that we're talking about with respect to overexposure to the sun.
That is correct.
So.
It's only going to help prevent against that sunburn and prevent skin cancer. It is not going to help keep you cool.
Certainly important stuff to know this morning, especially, but really all summer long with the warmer conditions now that we're into this season. Hannah Plumley, again, is Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Hancock Public Health. We have more information on heat safety in the summertime at our webpage, goodmornings.net, for more advice and more important information. And Hannah, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, even as Congress and the president are going back and forth on this significant housing affordability bill that we were talking about last week, this is kind of interesting. A new bank rate analysis finds that many home buyers are overpaying because they are skipping an essential step in the mortgage process, amounting to what they call a hidden homeownership tax. Bankrate's Alex Gailey is with us this morning. Alex, explain.
You're right. Our research at Bankrate finds that American homebuyers and owners are paying tens of billions of dollars for not shopping around for the best mortgage. About 9 in 10 homebuyers overpay for their mortgage. And it's not because there weren't better deals available when they were in the market. It's because most borrowers never found them. And our data shows that by not comparing rates and not shopping around, that ends up costing the typical borrower over $3,300 a year. And this is the hidden homeownership tax, and it's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. In other words, you're taxing yourself by paying more than you have to. And that is especially significant because, again, as we were talking about with this housing affordability bill, affordability is already at an all-time low. So you don't want to be making things even more complex than they already are.
That's right. This is one of the ways that buyers can lower their costs at a time where housing affordability is at one of the worst places it's been in a long time. And we do know that Americans still want to become home buyers. And there's a lot of policy conversations on long-term supply, and that is certainly important. But this research shows that there is a piece of the affordability puzzle that we can fix right now. And it comes down to creating more transparency.
So, and what's interesting, by the way, when you dig into these numbers, that higher income borrowers and higher credit score borrowers are the groups that are actually more likely to overpay. How does that happen?
The hidden homeownership tax is affecting almost every borrower in the country across age, income, different types of loans. But we did find that if you're a higher income borrower or you have a conventional loan or maybe you're an older borrower, you have your chance of overpaying is higher at around 90% or more. And there's a couple reasons why that may be. Borrowers with better credit and higher income, lower debt, they face lower approval uncertainty. So they often feel secure accepting that initial offer. In other words, those that have lower incomes, lower DTIs, they shop more because they feel like they have to, whereas you don't actually see that that's happening as much with borrowers who have financial security, which seems a little counterintuitive, but it is interesting how that can play out with the mortgage shopping process. Yeah. A lot of them, they want to rely on their bank relationships or their relationships with their lenders. And while it is important to have those good relationships and that trust, you're taking yourself out of the broader market check that you could be doing and ultimately saving money.
What is that old saying? Trust but verify. And I guess that really leads to the next question. I mean, who's really to blame on it? How much of this is on the consumer for not shopping around, because you can do that? How much of it is on the market and that feeling that we've got to act now, we don't have time to shop around? How much of it is in the process that makes it more difficult than it should be to shop around? Where does the blame lie here?
There's two sides of the coin here. Certainly home buyers could be shopping around more and making those comparisons and getting better prices. However, the mortgage system puts all the challenge on borrowers who aren't being given the tools and information to do better for themselves. When nearly 9 out of 10 borrowers are overpaying for their mortgages, it tells you that the mortgage process from start to finish is not set up for borrowers to easily compare rates and fees and get that best mortgage. Now, a lot of that has to do with misconceptions, not enough information, financial literacy, all these different factors are playing into it and creating a perfect storm where borrowers are overpaying for their mortgage. I think it's important that Americans are aware of what's going on so that they can empower themselves to take that action. At the same time, the mortgage industry certainly has a lot to work to do when it comes to being more transparent about whether people are actually getting a good deal or not. It's, you know, in terms of regulation and transparency, when it comes to the pricing itself, that's all there. They tell you line by line how much you're going to pay for this mortgage. But that doesn't always mean that you know if you're getting a good deal or not.
Yeah. The irony there is that it's never been easier to get all of this information on the internet. I mean, you can shop for rates and there are lenders online and all. It's not like it used to be a couple of generations ago where the only way you could shop a rate is to go physically from one bank to the next. So it's all out there. And I know the study does call for a couple of reforms that could improve the situation.
Yeah, there are certainly policy and regulation that could create more transparency in the mortgage shopping process. And one of those could look like requiring lenders to add a line to mortgage quotes that shows some sort of national benchmark based on borrowers with a comparable financial profile to yours. Mm. Putting that benchmark in front of borrowers would make it instantly clear whether they're getting a good price for their mortgage or not. And another way that you could try to create more transparency and competition among lenders is having them opt into a marketplace where borrowers are able to then look at all their options on one page and they can see how much this mortgage is going to cost based on all the same factors across the board.
Now, assuming that we are not going to snap our fingers and make that happen, what should borrowers be doing right now to make sure that they don't fall victim to this hidden homeowner tax?
The best thing that you can do is break out of the single quote loop instead of just going with your bank that you've been with for a long time or taking a quick recommendation from a realtor. Get multiple quotes from different lenders, ideally at least three and ideally on the same day. And having that direct comparison is what will empower you to secure the best mortgage and could save you an average of over $3,300 a year, according to our research. What is happening a lot of the time is that borrowers are just going with the first lender that is recommended to them by their realtor, which completely makes sense because the home buying process can feel very overwhelming. And a lot of times the mortgage shopping falls to the back burner, but it is important it's an effective way to lower those home ownership costs that you'll be incurring for what is likely the biggest purchase of your life.
Yeah. And as you were mentioning earlier, this can really add up over the lifetime of the loan. Although, to be fair, most people these days will refinance at least once. But there again, you don't want to miss the opportunity to correct that mistake. And again, if you look at the numbers, some people have maybe been in a better position, refinanced, and put themselves in a worse position with respect to the rate that they're paying.
That's right. What's surprising about our research is that we found 79% of refinancers still overpay for their mortgage. And that is a really eye-opening statistic because that shows you that those borrowers have gone out and they've refinanced and they're still overpaying because they're not given the tools and information to be actively searching and finding the best deal. Again, a lot of times refinancers are still just going to one lender to see what rate they can. And they really should be looking at all their options and making lenders compete for their business.
All very important stuff. If you are in the market purchasing a home or, like we said, refinancing too, this certainly applies. And again, Bankrate's Alex Gailey with us this morning. Alex, thanks very much for taking the time. A lot there for folks to think about. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
In the news business, there are two separate and distinct groups: breaking news and the news that is already broken. These are their stories.
A 40-year-old woman in New York City found herself on the wrong side of the law after stealing a Knicks-themed trash can during the team's championship parade earlier this month. There's video of this. There's actually video of this. Angie Baez was caught red-handed emptying the orange and blue trash can onto the sidewalk and then walking off with it. She decided she was going to help herself. One witness said it was not the right thing to do, but honestly, it didn't feel all that bad considering all the other crazy stuff that Knicks fans were doing. That's a good point. Ms. Baez, though, apparently had a change of heart and returned the can a few days later. She was fined $175 for littering and impeding sanitation operation. An interesting charge. Not something that too many people are usually charged with, I can't imagine. It's not a very frequent charge, impeding sanitation operation. By the way, what makes this story even more interesting is that it was subsequently reported that Ms. Baez had previously served as an executive director for J.P. Morgan Chase. So you'd think she would know better. But the company says she is no longer with the firm. Now, it was unclear from the report whether she was fired because of the fact that she took the can, or whether she was already out of work and maybe she was so desperate that she needed to steal a can. Trash can. I don't know. But you would think she would know better. Elsewhere in the broken news, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office in Florida reports that a man was arrested for impersonating a law enforcement officer. And how did he get caught? Well, he tried to pull over an actual member of the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. The fake cop initiated a traffic stop with a car that turned out to be an undercover sheriff's vehicle. Oops. Hey, if you're faking being an officer, you run that risk. The actual deputies let him go through this whole spiel and then pulled a reverse Uno card and initiated a traffic stop of their own on his vehicle. The suspect was charged with impersonation and possession of a firearm during commission of a felony, because it's a felony to impersonate a police officer. So since he had a gun, he's in big trouble. Oops. Oops. That's a surprise he wasn't counting on. And finally, in the broken news this morning, an unfortunate typo on a French language poster promoting a public space improvement program has prompted its swift removal from downtown Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. The bright purple posters should have read Placette Publique, which is French for public spaces, but they omitted the L in the second word, turning the word public into public, which has the same meaning as if you were to remove the L in the English word of public. Think about that for a second. It changed from public to pubic. Oops! Both French and English versions of the poster were put up over the weekend, but by Sunday morning, the French posters had been removed. A government official conceded that while the campaign was meant to create an atmosphere of fun, this little error sends the wrong message at the wrong moment. Not the message that they were going for in Ottawa. Placette Publique. No. There you go. It's your broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. With the heat this week, maybe this would be a good time to head down to Deitch's. Head over to Deitch's, spend some time in the air conditioning there, have some ice cream. A new survey of 2,000 Americans reveals just how seriously we take our ice cream. Nearly everyone has at least one scoop of ice cream weekly. According to the survey, 95% of us have at least one scoop weekly, and we average 11 scoops a week. That adds up to 2.5 billion gallons consumed each summer nationally. 2.5 billion gallons of ice cream. 60% of those in the survey call themselves ice cream fanatics, and another 60% say it is their all-time favorite dessert. Cookies and cream topped flavor preferences for Gen Z, millennials, and Gen Xers. Cookies and cream, number one flavor. Baby boomers prefer chocolate. The study also found that 60% of respondents in the survey did not know that ice cream has a legal definition. And you know that? 60% did not know that there is a legal definition of what is ice cream. After learning the distinction between ice cream and other frozen dairy desserts, 70% said that they would check their labels before purchasing. Ice cream, got to check the labels. Got to be only real ice cream. By the way, creaminess, flavor, and ingredient quality ranked as the top buying considerations when we choose what ice cream to buy. Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Indeed. Well, if you can stand the heat, there is plenty to do to get out and enjoy the sunshine and warm weather in the parks in the month of July. Michelle Rumschlag is with us this morning. A little toasty, perhaps this week, but hey, there's plenty of shade in the parks. I mean, it's still a great time to be outdoors and in enjoying the summertime weather.
Right. So there's if you're hitting the trails, like I said, you know, in the woods, you know, just, you know, slow walks.
Yeah.
Don't exert, you know, bring plenty of water, you know,
plenty of hydration.
Stay hydrated.
Right.
And there's people that love this heat. I am not one of them, but, you know, they got to be enjoying all this extreme humidity and somebody's loving it. But there's ways to be outside or just, you know, short periods of time. So, you know, just again, don't overexert, you know, in the parks. But we still have lots of activities happening. And again, all of July and August, we have full summer program available or programs out on our website. Again, HancockParks.com to get a full summer programming.
Just keep in mind, especially this week with the extreme conditions, even in the shade, it's going to be very, very hot. So plan accordingly and don't get yourself into trouble, as we were talking about a little bit earlier this morning. So what is going on in the month of July? What do we want to highlight here?
Well, happening this week on Thursday, July 2nd, one of our Little Hands Nature Club programs, and these are designed for kids ages 3 to 6 with an adult, but other age siblings are welcome to attend. And this week, it's going to be Shadow Fun. So kind of works. We're going to be inside the Discovery Center. So again, programmed to be inside with the air conditioned and beat the heat. But all things shadows. And so we're going to have creating a puppet shadow show.
Cool.
Toy animals, making shadows with stuff, reading on a sundial. And again, who hasn't done it with the flashlight?
I have
never.
And you
put your hands up and make the animal.
I have never been able to do that. I can never make animals look like what I want them to look like with my, I've never been able to do that. Maybe I'm not coordinated.
I think everybody could do the rabbit and the butterfly.
I can do like,
you know, it might take
I can do a spider. That's what I can do. I can do a spider. That's pretty easy to do.
Thanks. So some fun activities again happening inside our Discovery Center. So again, this Thursday, July 2nd, 10 a.m. I don't know if I mentioned that, 10 a.m. Again, just show up for Little Hands Nature Club Shadow Fun.
Very cool. What else is going on this month?
Well, this month we have one of our planetarium programs. So that's something when it's nicer out, we don't always have monthly programs with that because we know people want to be outside. But coming up next Tuesday, July 7th, of course, our planetarium program takes place inside the Discovery Center at Oakwoods Nature Preserve. And this one's called That's Not a Constellation, That's an Asterism. And you might be going, well, what is that? And so think of the Big Dipper, right? Everybody knows the Big Dipper, but the Big Dipper is not a constellation.
Really?
It's, everybody knows it, but it actually it's part of Ursa Major or the Big Bear. The Big Dipper part of the bear's body is kind of like his his back end, like his hip, flank area, and tail. So it's only part of the constellation that you're seeing, but it's just so prominent that everybody knows what it is. There's a few other examples for that. And then you're going to look at, you know, whatever is happening in the night sky, what planets are out. So again, this is at 6:30 in the evening. It's free, but we do need you to register by that Tuesday afternoon, just because we have a limited number that we can allow inside the dome. Okay. I know we already have a handful of people signed up for that. So again, if you want to hit the planetarium, because I believe our next program is not until this fall, again, Tuesday, July 7th, to learn about asterism, sign up for that.
Okay. Anything else to call folks' attention to here?
Well, something later in the month, happening at the McInnes House on Sunday, July 26th. Of course, that's 1 into 4. People can just stop in. It's going to be candle making. And so, right, this is 1840, so there's no electricity. Everything would have been done by, like, firelight or candlelight. Mm-hmm. And talking about how they would have been made, the process that takes place. So, you know, participants will have a chance to make their own little small dip candle.
Very cool.
So that'll be taking place at the fire pit outside. We'll have some kind of yummy treat inside the McInnes House. Again, so learning all things candles, come out, take a look at our newly established period garden. So we've got our herbs and some vegetables replanted in there. Hopefully, they survive this heat this week, but fingers crossed that will be good. So again, Sunday, July 26th for candle making at Litzenberg from 1 until 4.
Okay. Again, just a sampling, just a handful of some of the things that are going on in the month of July. As you mentioned, you've got the entire schedule of events posted at the website, right?
Yes. So again, all of July and August. And again, if, you know, thinking for, you know, reserving facilities, if you've got something going on next summer in July or August, just know you can register a year to date and then also check availability. I don't know, you still might be able to get something at the end of the summer. If we've got shelters available, again, you can check all of that under the facilities tab at hancockparks.com.
And again, a great opportunity to get out and enjoy the summer sun and the warm weather. Just be very careful if you're going to be out here in the next several days, because the conditions are rather extreme. But everything is open. Yeah. Enjoy the parks.
Yeah.
And again, Michelle Rumschlag with the Hancock Park District with us this morning, talking about things going on in the month of July. Michelle, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about every day on the program at our webpage. And that is, of course, goodmornings.net. Plus, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would also appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well, and we appreciate that very much. Coming up tomorrow morning on the program, Congressman Bob Latta joins us. We'll reflect on America's 250th birthday, plus new and proposed changes to the way new drivers in Ohio can become licensed for the first time. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.